Blog Talk Radio.
Will your spirit still say yes?
I am the land, worthy is the land. We crown you King, because you are worthy. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for another day to come and break bread, to come at your table and feast. Come at your table and drink, eat and drink, O God. We ask your forgiveness this morning. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace. Lord, we pray this morning for Tawana Anderson. We pray that, God, that you watch over her, all of her family members, all of her children, her father, her mother. Lord, we ask that you bless her going and you bless her coming. God, that you open doors for her that no one can close. Father, that you work miracles in her life and for her family. Lord, make every crooked place straight and every rough place plain. We ask, Father, that you give a clear understanding of your word, O God, as she search and research and research your word, O God. Fill her spirit, man, with a fresh anointing. And Father, we lift up Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington and Tion Washington and Dion and her son Claude and her husband. And Lord, we lift up all the sons, all the other sons and grandchildren. Lord, we ask that the appointments that they're going on today, all of them having appointments today, majority of them, Lord, we ask that let the appointments be favorable, O God. Lord, you give them favorable. Lord, we ask that you fix Bishop Eyes, O God. Let him be able to see until the day you call him home to be with you, Lord. We ask you to remove that itching and scratchiness in his eyes, O God, that whatever that symptom that he may have picked up, Lord, let it go back to where it came from. Father, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And Lord, we bless you. We thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser's here every morning. We ask that you bless his mother, bless his sister, his brother-in-law, bless all his family, bless his father. Strengthen him, O God, as he overcome the broken hip and overcome cancer. Lord, we just ask right now for you to strengthen his family. And thank you, O God, for allowing us to have our conversation last night with our Apostle Minnie Jefferson. And we ask you to heal her sister, heal her daughter, her son-in-law, and her grandson, and everyone that is connected to her, Lord. We ask for healing, Lord God. Let that be their Christmas gift this season, this Christmas holiday season, O God. That this festive season, Lord, let that be gifts to your children. That healing be the gift that you give to them this year, this December, Lord. And Father, we ask that you touch my family, touch my son, touch my daughters and my granddaughters and my grandsons and my great granddaughters and great grandsons. Touch them all. Lord, draw them closer to you. Heal my daughter's knees in Georgia, Lord. Heal her knees, heal her back. Lord, we ask you to heal all the pain, arthritic pain that she's suffering with. Father, we ask, O God, today that you touch Alicia. Lord God, touch all of my children, Lord. Touch Benjamin. Touch my granddaughter, Simone, and touch Samara. Father, touch Rebecca, Lord God. And touch Rico. And Tremaine, Lord God, we just ask today, Lord God, that you touch the children today, that you protect them against all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray for Tremaine's wife, oh God, that you keep and Tremaine's wife and Rico's wife, oh God, and all the children, oh God. We pray, Father God, for your anointing to move in the house, Lord. Lord, meet them at their point of need, oh God. Keep them together. Keep them strong, Lord, and keep them away from all hurt, harm, and danger. And, Father, we are careful to give you glory. Pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Pray for the church over there in Louisiana, Lord, that more people will come and join and experience the gift of God. Oh, Father, do for them what only you can do. And Lord Jesus, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, bless this word today, and let this word be illuminated before my very eyes, that I will see what you would have me to see, O God, in this word today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Today we are talking about, we are going to talk about the gospel of Yeshua. The gospel of Yeshua. And there's only one truth. One truth. And that's the word of God. Everything else is a lie. One truth. The word of God. When you have the word of God hidden in your heart, you have truth in your heart. When you live by the word of God, you're living by truth. Most people today, friends, family, and foes, are not living by the truth of God's word. They're living by their own estimation, by their own will, by their own feelings, their own desires. Okay? They're not living according to God's word. They're doing whatever they choose to do. And Father, we pray today for the anointing that destroyed the yoke to rest upon people today. Lord, begin to touch lives and save lives all over this world, all over this earth. God, we ask you to move by your spirit, because you said it, Lord, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, God, we are calling upon you. We are calling from earth to heaven. You said your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we ask you to touch the people, touch the homosexual, touch the lesbian, touch the fornicator, touch the adulterer, touch the thief, touch the murderer. Oh, God, touch the blasphemer, oh, God. We ask you to touch, oh, God. Touch today. Touch the, oh, God, those that are living, contribute to your word. They're living, doing what they want to do, what makes them feel good. They're not concerned. They say they only have one life to live, but they little do they know that there is a first and second resurrection. Oh, God, so there's a first and second death. So they, little do they know. Hallelujah, Lord God, but it's in the word of God. So we ask you, God, to touch them. Send ministers of the gospel that will declare the truth to them, even if they reject the truth, Lord God. But we pray, God, as they hear the truth, that they would realize that the truth is the truth, and you can't get it wrong. I don't care how you try. Lord God, this today we're talking about the gospel of Yeshua, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go to the first scripture. We have these scriptures all over here. So the first scripture, let's take it according to the book that we have, that we were looking at this morning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the first scripture I had up here. And Paul is talking about the gospel. He let them know that he is an apostle. An apostle means that he is a messenger sent by God. Set apart, one that is set apart in due season, in due time, before the time he was called to be an apostle. Just like Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was even born. He was in his mother's womb before he was in his mother's womb. God knew he would be in there. He was called to be a prophet. So Paul was called to be an apostle. He knew that God knew that he was going to persecute the church. He knew he was going to lock up people. He was going to even have people put to death for the name of Jesus Christ. But God said he would use him for his glory. He would use him for his benefit, that many would come to salvation. Many would come to him through the preached word of Paul. Hallelujah. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, verse 1 says, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." And Paul says, I'm just preaching to you what you already heard. I'm just bringing back to your remembrance what you already heard. I'm not bringing anything new to you. I'm bringing it back to your remembrance. So Paul went on to say, let's look at another scripture real quick. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. I want to put up one verse there, and then we'll jump back here in Galatians Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, when you're parlaying scripture, you will see stuff that would jump off for you to give you clear. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, Paul had an encounter. Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 9. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. And Jesus spoke to him from the sky, from the heavens. He saw the cloud. He saw the light. He heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Well, he wasn't persecuting Jesus per se, but he was persecuting the church. And Jesus considered the church himself. It is his body. Hallelujah. So Paul went on and says, "For you have heard of my conversion." No, "you have heard of my conversation," excuse me, "in time past in the Jews' religion, how that that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." He said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," hallelujah, "to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Also, when he was called, he didn't ask nobody. He didn't have no conversation with brother, sister, or mother, or father, uncle, or aunt. He just accepted the call. And you go back, you'll see that when we get there in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, and verse 5. Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand." You're standing, you're still standing in the, and what you have received, what you heard of the gospel preaching when you came to salvation. He said, "But which also you, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Listen to Paul saying, you have to keep this thought, this word. This is like a prescription. You just can't get the prescription and don't go to the drugstore and get the medication. You just have the paper in your hand and don't go to the drugstore. Guess what happened? Your body needs the medication in order for you to heal. You will die. Well, it's the same way with our soul. We need the word of God for us to stay faithful, to walk righteously, to walk right before God, to stay holy, to be in right standing with God. He said, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Paul says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. See, there's no excuse. People are saying that he wasn't crucified, that he wasn't buried, and that he didn't raise up from the grave on the third day. But Paul says many witnesses have seen him. They saw him being crucified on the cross. They saw when he gave up the Holy Ghost, and they saw him taken down from the cross and taken to a borrowed tomb. And he died on the cross. He took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he rose on the third day. When they went to the tomb, there was no body. It was just the clothes, the grave clothes. He wasn't in the grave. He says, after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep, some died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Here Paul saying. But Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I live more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, therefore, whether it were I or there, so we preach and so we believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Our preaching is wasted, is worthless. And your faith is also worthless. This is the Paul saying. See, we believe. We believe this. This is the gospel. Listen to what he said. He said, yeah. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not. If so be that the dead raised not, for if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yet you are yet in your sins. See, so we know that Christ is raised from the dead. Let's go back to Romans chapter. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. We're talking about the gospel of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the Gentiles. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen to Paul. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, a lot of people hear the truth, they know the truth, but they don't live the truth. Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Romans. And verse 1. Therefore, being justified or placed in right standing by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have no peace, no joy until you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no peace. A lot of people say, well, I had an aunt that died, and she said when I was at the bedside, she said, you know, I wish I had what you had, David, what you have, David. She was dying, but she couldn't receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior because she was Jewish. She said, I wish I had. She said, well, look at you. I could see how peaceful. She had a big house with swimming pool and everything. I ain't had that stuff. But she says, I wish I had what you have. My peace wasn't even as great as it is now. Because this is many, 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 many years, many moons away that she crossed over. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, no. People of God, now understand this, that we live in this life. We live in this life because and believe in what God has said. And we have this hope in us that there's greater coming. There's greater in store for us. Not just what we have today, not just because we have a nice car, have a nice home, or have a good job. We have a great expectation of what God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already prepared for us, because he told us, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. So we have this great expectation. So we're living with this all the time, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we're not afraid of leaving here. Hallelujah. I tell my wife, I said, honey, if I got to cross over, don't cry for me, because I know where I'm going. Not because I'm perfect, but because he's perfect and because he died so that I would have life more abundantly. See? So this is what he said. He said, but not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. This is the gospel. See, when we are talking with Pastor Joy, Pastor James, and Apostle, said we having a long conversation on the phone. No, you don't weep and moan over pain and going through suffering and stuff, and the doctor give you a bad report. No, you rejoice because you know that you belong to the healer. You don't complain because you don't have this and you don't have that. You said, because God is your supply. He said, I will supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. See, we have this, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us to comfort us. Even sometimes when we're feeling down and depressed and oppressed, the Holy Ghost comes and he comforts us. He lets us know that doesn't matter what's going on out there, that's happened against us, great is he that's in you. See, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome him, for great is he that's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. So we glory, we are excited, we are delighted. We have this joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory on the inside of us. We may not have any money in the bank. We may not have any money in our pocket. We may not have a job, but we have this joy that comes from heaven. You can't purchase it. Nobody can give it to you. Only Jesus can give that joy to you. Only him can give that peace to you. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that live in heaven, laden, and I'll give you rest. To come on to me. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go over there quick. I just heard the scripture. Let's read that and put that in here. Let's put that inside the sermon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 to 30. Listen to what he says. This is the scripture you need to know. He said, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. These scriptures should go through, run over. Because run through each time. Because why? These are going to give you the peace that you're looking for. Hallelujah. While I was in sin, God sent his son to die on the cross. while I was living a sinful lifestyle. Hallelujah. He sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. Go, you're back there in 1 Corinthians. Let's ride this scripture down the road now. 1 Corinthians. And listen what Paul says. Let's go back up to the top and come down. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. My Lord. This is what the scriptures do. And you are when you get the scriptures in your heart, your life will never be the same. He changes you from the inside out. The more you study these words, the more you study them, the more he excites you. Listen what he says. Go. He says, now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I proclaim to you, coming out of the Logos Bible, which you have also received. We just read this in the King James, but I want to do it in the Logos Bible. He said, in which you also stand, by which you are also being saved. If you hold fast to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe to no purpose, for I pass on to you as of first importance what I also receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised up on the third day according to the scriptures. This is what we say Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Let's jump down to verse 16. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised either. But if Christ had been raised, your faith, but if Christ has not been raised, your faith is empty. You are still in your sins. And as a further result, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Hear what he's saying. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, those who died and called themselves Christians or was known as born-again believers, they died in vain. They're not going to be raised to everlasting life. They're not going to be raised to eternity, to be in eternity with him, because he haven't raised. But we know the truth that he rose again on the third day because the Father raised him up from the third day. And over 500 people saw him at one time. Then the apostles saw him. Then Paul saw him. He read all that. No. Let's just look at this scripture, break this thing down. Oh, Jesus, I love the word of God. I'm going to just go in here, look at it in Logos. Okay, let's look at it here. Paul, after addressing problems regarding their worship practices, Paul continues by addressing reports about the Corinthians' belief in this chapter. He focused on the issues of resurrection. He begins by affirming the resurrection of Christ and then discusses the future hope of bodily resurrection and glorification of all followers of Christ. Now, there were some believers in the church at the time that had doubt about Jesus being raised from the dead. Even today, in today's time that we're living, there's some believers that don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. When you speak it to them, they don't believe. Hallelujah. They said, how can somebody die and be buried and then raised again? But the Bible says so. The Bible says that they died and raised again. So we got to go by what the Bible says. God says so. Pen down the book. His spirit moved upon men, and men wrote the word. They didn't just come up with the word of God by themselves. He put it in their hearts. And they wrote it. So we got to go with it. We can't allow anybody to tell us different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here, I'm putting up several computers here together so I can flow this word down. The gospel. In the following verses, Paul gives a brief sketch of the gospel he preached. Verse 2, you are also being saved. Believers experience salvation in part now, in the sense of beginning their relationship with Christ without the burden of sin standing between them and God. But this salvation will be complete when Christ returns and they are unified with God for eternity. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, I want to start, I'll be saying all the time that Paul said you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is why after we submit and commit to Christ Jesus our lives, now we have to walk according to the scriptures. We have to be obedient to the word of God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we walk by faith and not by sight, and we continue to let this word be our GPS or the schematic that we follow. We allow this word to be what lead us. We need the word of God. Hallelujah. The world system gives the world a plan to go by. What's the plan that they have? They have all the filth that the world does, the sexing, the lying, the stealing, the cussing, the killing, the robbing. All of this is a schematic that they follow. The devil tells them to kill their brother, kill their sister, go get drunk, go get high. Do all these things. Put a lot of tattoos all over their body. When the Bible said we should not put piercings and prints on our skin in the book of Leviticus. Now, Paul says, we read this in Philippians 1:1-6. Okay, we have this confidence in us. Hebrews 3:1. 1 Corinthians 1:18. So, Paul said he passed on this thing in 1 Corinthians 11:24. Okay, he said, what I also received refers to the context of the word, of the gospel, the message that he got, hallelujah, from the other apostles, from Jesus Christ himself, he passed on to believers. Paul emphasized the continuity of his message with the early church teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, start at verse 23, where we do the Holy Communion. According to the scriptures, refers to the Old Testament. Paul, in his teaching and preaching, he quoted the Old Testament all through his ministry. You will see it. Paul quoted the scripture. We're talking about the gospel of Yeshua. This is the topic for today. If we taught it from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Philippians 1:6, Romans chapter 1. Now here in this text that we are on here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is speaking to the church because the church has had a lot of problems going on at this time. And Paul was called to address the church the unbelief in the church. And we have some in our churches today. That's why a lot of folks say, well, how can I be in the church and I can't have fun? Well, you're not called in the church to have fun. You're called in the church to receive Jesus and to follow the instructions. Basic instruction before leaving earth. That's what you're called to do. Hallelujah. He says to Simon Peter, an apostle of Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. The 12 refers to the 12 men whom Jesus chose to be his disciples and apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. More than 500 brothers, Paul told them, this appearance is unknown outside of this passage, though it recalls the gathering of believers in Acts chapter 2. The number of witnesses add credibility to the claim. So Paul is telling them that, look, he was seen by Cephas first, then by about 500 people, then by the 12 apostles, and then by him who was born out of time. You know, he said, look, I even seen him. So there's no doubt Paul had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. So Jesus is not no longer in the grave. He's no longer in the tomb. And Paul even comes and says, look, if he hasn't raised, then all salvation is futile. It's in vain. It's worthless. Our hope to be in eternity with him is worthless. He said, but we got proof. And Paul had to break it down for the Corinthian church so they could understand. Now, the appearance is unknown outside this passage, but we know that it's here. Some have fallen asleep. Paul said that some of them are still alive today, and some, at the time he was talking, and some had fallen asleep, meaning dead. A common metaphor for death. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43, John chapter 11, verse 11. In the same way that a person sleeps and awakes, the Christian who dies will rise to life. He will arise to life. To James, refer to James, the brother of Jesus who became the leader of the church at Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. The apostles likely a reference to the 11 apostles present at Christ's resurrection and still living at this time may also refer to the 72 mentioned in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And perhaps others, all of these people, saw the risen Christ. Now, verse 8 says, and last of all, as it were, to one born, talking about him now, to him, last of all he saw, to one born at the wrong time, he appeared also to me, Paul. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been in vain, but I labor even more than all of them, and not I, but the grace of God with me. Therefore, whether I or those in this way we preach, and in that this way you believe. See, Paul said the most important thing is for people to believe the message. It's not who preach. You know, a lot of people like to push their chest up like they're the best preacher, the best vocalist, the best keyboard player in the world. It's not about that. The main important thing is the people receive the message. That's why when he tell me sit down and let somebody preach, as long as I have a preacher, I said, go on and preach. I can listen to the word. I need to hear the word for myself too. You know, I need to hear more. I don't know it all, but I want it all. So I like to hear people preach. So Paul said, look, long as the people believe, long as they hear and they believe. If they believe, they're going to receive the gift of salvation. You got to believe. So he says, one born out of the wrong time refers to an abnormal manner in which Paul became an apostle on his way to Damascus. Jesus appeared like a light shining in the heavens. And he called out to Paul, to Saul. He was Saul at the time, you know. He believed that what he was doing was right. The Jewish leaders, they had him doing all of this stuff. In chapter 9, Jesus called out to him. You can read that message, because we're not going there. You can read it in chapter 9 of Acts. Jesus called him out. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we know he wasn't persecuting Jesus because he can't touch Jesus, but he was persecuting the church. And the church is the body of Christ. That's Jesus' body. That's his body. He's the head of the church. But then he chose Paul, Saul, and sent him down to Ananias, a prophet of God, who would later lay hands on him, and the scales that was on Saul's eye would come off, and his name would be changed from Saul to Paul. And now he would become the head man, the head honcho, that he would become the general to carry forth this gospel message. From house to house, he's going everywhere. He said he was more zealous than all of them all. Because once he got out of darkness and got into the light of God, he wants to tell everybody. He wants to tell everybody. I remember when I first got baptized. Oh, my Lord, I didn't know a lot of scripture. But I know my pastor used to say, one of the scriptures he used to always say, I don't think it was the day he preached that he would say, a false balance is an abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. Man, I said, I want to learn this stuff. I want to be led to roll like my pastor. That's in Proverbs chapter 11 and 1. And then I said, Lord, how the pastor could call it all these scripture like that? He said, death and life is the power of the tongue. They that love it to eat the fruit thereof. Man, I asked pastor, I said, man, how you get all them words? How you can hold it? He said, son, you got to go over and over and over. You see, you got to study the word of God like the word of God said. You got to study the word of God to show you. To have approved unto God and workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly by the word of truth. I said, how you do that? He said, man, you got to go into that word every night. I remember when I told him, I know someday I would say, well, I said, Pastor, I'm going home and I'm going to study. I'm going home and study, get in the word. He said, no, son, don't go home and get in the word. Go home and get the word in you. I said, wow. He said, there's a difference. You know, people say they're going home and get in the word, but you're going to get in the word. You ain't got no word in you. Go and get the word in you. Go and get the word in you. You know, so I said, well, I'm going home and get in the word. Get the word inside of my belly. You know, so I would go over and over and over and over the scriptures every day, every day. Till finally, I used to start even writing the scriptures on flashcards. Write them on flashcards. And then when I was out in the field working, I would put out a flashcard. I get the stop sign, and I would run the scripture over and over and over and over till finally I got those scriptures inside of me. We're talking about the gospel of Yeshua. And my main scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the second scripture was, went to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And some of the scriptures inside that same chapter. And then we're going to go to John chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, and then Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to study all scripture. I'm going to do a part two of this because I'm not going to do it all today. No, unless the Holy Spirit said different. But here in this text here, we're in 1 Corinthians. And I talked to you earlier about the church having some problems. And they didn't believe. You know, you say, well, they see the apostles, they meet with the apostles. Why they didn't believe? Well, just like some of us, we hear the bishop, we hear the apostle, we hear the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor, and the teacher, and everybody come, and the prophet, and prophets, and all of them come and prophesy to us, and we will come up with all type of excuse, all like we know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we know everything. We had dreams. We had prophetic vision. All this stuff, we act like we know it all. Not everybody know it all. The Holy Spirit knew it all, and he would give people different revelation for the church. That's why he said we are many members but one body. I told somebody last night, every member is important in the body. I don't care if you got a PhD, if you got a MA, BA, you got a whatever degree you have. That don't make you more than nobody else. All you're going to do is you got a piece of paper that some man or woman give to you that you pay $500 or $1,500, depends on who give it to you. And now you have to get on internet and tell everybody you're the doctor of theology. Don't live one scripture. Don't live one scripture. I would have one person that live in the scripture and 10 people run around saying they're doctor degrees, they're doctor of theology. And you can't even call them by their name anymore. I was with them in Las Vegas, and they were saying, man, hundreds of them, man, if not thousands of men, I tell you, at the Revere. We stayed at my pastor, myself, and the other from our team, we stayed at the MGM Hotel. And we went over, had to go over to the Revere. The Revere had a very big, ballroom or conference room, where you call it. But see, all them highfalutin preachers with doctorate degrees and all this stuff, you know a lot of them too. And look, we're in the service. We have one preacher from Washington, D.C. Man, that man's a fireball. But when he done preaching that stuff, he was tore up from the floor. He went to the bar and got tore up from the floor. Now, that was bad for the church. That was bad for the church. Because when you have people that walking with, in Las Vegas, you see women, all their stuff is hanging out. I mean, hanging out. Ain't no joke about it, bro. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I was amazed. I said, man, women walking around like that, half naked. All this stuff hanging out. You can see all this stuff. I said, wow. And he was taught. But when you see people, and people see you and know, just hear you preaching up there, you know, because the door was open, and people pass by and look in and see all these hundreds and hundreds of people, a thousand people inside this big, giant room. And then look and see a preacher that preaching with such tenacity. And then get down, then got drunk, go to the bar, drinking all that wine and stuff. You know, don't do nothing for the gospel. So here in this book of Corinthians, the Corinthians going through a very hard time accepting that Jesus, some of them, not all of them, that's accepting that Jesus died on a cross, that he was buried in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, and that he rose again on the third day. They had a hard time, just like today. You have people that went to high school, went to college and got degrees, and they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You got scientists, you got doctors, you got lawyers, you got police officers, you got firemen, you got nurses, you got housewives and husbands that don't believe that Jesus, atheists, don't believe that he was crucified. They don't believe that he died on the cross and gave up his ghost, and they took him down and put him in a barred tomb. And on the third day, like he said, he came up with that tomb. But the grave clothes was there as proof. And people saw him. Over 500 people saw him. Then the apostles saw him. Then he was seen by Paul as one born out of time. Paul said so. He said he wasn't even worthy to become an apostle. Why? Because he persecuted church. But Paul did persecution in ignorance because he believed he was doing God. He believed he was working for God until he had that encounter in chapter 9 of Acts and had an encounter with Jesus. And all the other two people were witnesses, I think, there were two people with him. They could only see the light. They couldn't hear the voice. They see the light. But Paul see and heard everything and lost his sight that very same day. So Paul had to be shut down. His vision of the world had to be taken from him that day. I'm talking about the gospel of Yeshua this morning. His vision of the gospel of the world had to be taken from him that day. And then after 3 days, just like Jesus was in the grave 3 days, after 3 days, he got back his sight. He began now to see He begins the sight that he got now. Instead of natural sight, he got spiritual sight. The scales drop off his eyes, which had him shut out from the world. A lot of us need to be shut out. We still in the world. We still got a worldly vision. We haven't got the heavenly vision yet. That's why we don't see and hear what God wants done. And we don't do what God has already ordained for us. Paul was just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called before he was even in his woman's mother's womb. And God had a calling on Paul's life even while he was persecuting the church. While I was in the crack house, God had a call on my life. I didn't even know. Wasn't looking forward to it. But thank God. Hallelujah. I got some recorders to close here for me tonight. They're getting strong. They so got so much antioxidants in these. I drink a little bit of that every day. Good for your body. Close. Here in this word that I want to work this out. I want to work this out and get it done. Pastor and Apostle Lee got a whole lot of things going on with them today. Got to pray for them. Pray for their strength. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19. Quick, fast, and hurry. And then we'll come right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Galatians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul speaking this thing here. He said, but other of the apostles saw I none. Saved James, the Lord's brother. He said, but the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Paul said, look, I am writing to you that very thing that I receive of the Lord. This, when he talked about, and you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, for I receive that which I give unto thee. Paul is only given what he received. So he is telling them exactly what they need to hear. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and break. Paul never gave the church something that he didn't get from God. He had an understanding by the Spirit what the church needed. So he began to talk to the Corinthian church. He says, let the apostle have reference to the 11 apostle presents Christ's resurrection and still living at this time. May also refer to the 72 mentioned in Luke chapter 10 verse 1. Now, Paul said he was born out of time. Out of time. It refers to the abnormal manner in which Paul became an apostle. It was very strange. He was on his way to Damascus to get information or get the writ that he needed to go and arrest more Christians. Get the way, yeah, I don't remember the word I want to find there. It's an order. He wants to get the order so he can go and arrest more Christians. But neither he know on his way to Damascus that Christ Jesus would show up in the spirit realm and talk to him and allow him to hear his voice. And scare the daylights out of him. I believe that Paul was wearing his pants then. I would be. A big old light shining out the heavens and talking to me. He fell off his, whatever he was riding, a camel, horse, whatever. Pony. Shaking. Jesus told him, you got to go down to that city called straight. Go down there. I got a man down there going to talk to you. And then the prophet was scared. He told God, I heard about this man, how he arrested Christians and had some put in jail and some put to death. And he said, but no, I chose him. He's a chosen vessel. He must suffer greatly for me. You know, people today, they want Jesus. They want Jesus. They want the, they want Jesus. They want to, They want the prosperity that comes, all this stuff, the blessing, but they don't want the principles. The principles of Jesus requires that you're going to suffer. He told us that. People don't want to go through no suffering. They don't want to go through no hard times. Don't want to get sick. Don't want to go through no pain. And here preachers saying, well, you're not supposed to get sick because you're a Christian. Who say that? We took on the very nature of Adam, the very nature. And because we have this sin nature in this body, this sin nature is in this body. Even though you're saved and sanctified and preaching the gospel, you still hear stuff in your body talking. I know. I can put my hands, both of my hands up. I still hear my body, my flesh talking stuff that's not godly. And I got to shut it down. Shut down. No, shut up. I tell it, shut up. Stop talking. Just like when I was in the world. And they used to say, I said, on Saturday, when I spent all my money, I said, I'm not going to get high no more. I'm not going to smoke no more cocaine because I had no money. And my wife wasn't going to give me no money. But as soon as I get a check, as soon as I get a job, here I go on heading to the coke man, to the drug man, going to the crack house and buy some stuff. I go into the man house that had all the stuff. He said, I got what you need, Dave. He said, Dave, I got what you need. It wasn't until I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I tell him straight up, I said, I wasn't going to get high anymore. But yet still the flesh, want to get high. I'm telling you something. I said, I wasn't going to get high anymore. I had an encounter with him. But I haven't surrendered the flesh. I didn't surrender the flesh. I'm going to do part two, maybe part three. Because this is a lot of stuff inside here. But here, look at this. Once you get this encounter in hand and you surrender the flesh, you got to surrender the flesh. That's the whole key. We know a lot of scriptures. We can parallelize the scripture. We can use some Greek. We can use some Latin. We can use some Hebrew. We know we got the books that tell us how to do that stuff. But you know one thing we don't do? We don't surrender our flesh. That way when somebody says something to us that sounds like it's out of order, we'll flip out. We'll flip out and tell them something that's not godly. We'll speak out of turn like that's not godly because guess what? We have not surrendered the flesh. And the flesh is speaking. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. It's still working in most of us. Still working. The spirit of greed is still operating in most of us. The more we have, the more we want. I just found out the other day, researching some stuff, that word mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N, is a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. It refers to money and also refers to greed. Also refers to greed. And this spirit comes upon people, all kinds of people, Christian folk, worldly folk. That's why you see so many pastors that can preach and they can get big churches that have four services, but they got 70, 80, 90 million dollars in the bank. They still want more. They're not concerned about people believing. Paul said in this text here, he said, whether I preach the gospel or somebody preach, it doesn't matter as long as they believe. We're too much in competition with each other. And we're not concentrating on the souls. We want to be the one, oh, yeah, I'm the prophet, I'm the bishop, I'm the this body. No, I don't care who preached. God sent me down here on Blog Talk Radio for several weeks. Everybody else was preaching. Everybody else. God, Lord, Peter, Lord, preach. Everybody else was preaching. I wasn't preaching. But guess what? My name was still written down, being written down in heaven. Because I was back there praying. I was still praying. It doesn't matter who preached. As long as people hear the word, believe the word, and receive the gift of salvation. They start changing their lives. Paul says he was born out of time. Paul considered his apostleship to be a sign of God's grace and mercy because he did not deserve it. A lot of us, we act like we deserve everything because I've been to school of ministry for 4 years. I went to school of theology. I don't worry about that stuff. I got more stuff now from the Holy Spirit than they taught me all the time I was going to school of theology. I mean, the Holy Spirit just give me so much. So much. Sometimes he just wake me up in the night and talking. I said, God, I never heard that before. He said, well, I'm giving it to you now. This is revelation. So I'm giving you revelation. Hallelujah. He said, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, or a servant, he is an ambassador, is a messenger, set apart. That's what an apostle is. He's a messenger. He said, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul begins to, he sees himself as a slave to righteousness, a slave to holiness. He's not walking around with his chest puffed up. He said, I'm the least of the apostles, not even worthy to be called an apostle. Can you imagine this man called by God, touched by God, anointed, appointed, and proved by God? He said, I'm not even worthy to be called. I'm the least. He said, God, well, I persecute the church of the living God. We think we all that. We forget the time we used to curse against God. You persecute the church. You didn't stand Christians. Believers, you couldn't stand them. You were just like Paul. You just didn't go in there and arrest nobody. Couldn't stand them. We were busy doing our stuff, getting down. Excuse me. The church Paul used, the Greek word, ecclesia, here to refer to all Christians, especially those in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 22. By the grace of God. Paul always realized and let you know that all that he has, all that he operates in, the anointing, the authority that he operates in, because God's grace, unmerited favor. Not because he spoke many languages. Not because he wrote so many books. He said by the grace of God, everything. That's what I love about Paul. He always points back to Christ Jesus, to God himself. You know, preachers throwing their jacket over the crowd, throwing water over the crowd, people falling over. Kundalini spirit is working strong. Kundalini spirit is in the atmosphere. And people say, oh, God is moving. Hey, you got such a strong anointing, why don't you go down to the hospital? Why don't you go down to the hospital and begin to use your hand and touch some people? Kundalini spirit is working strong. And a lot of preachers have that spirit on them. They go down to the water at the nighttime. I had a preacher a couple of days ago send me a message from Africa. And he said, Apostle, he said, man, the preachers are working, operating in the satanic spirit boldly now. He said they're not afraid. Boldly in the church. Boldly. Because they want to profess like they're some great people, just like Simon in the book of Acts. I try to buy the laying of hands tied by the Holy Ghost. And Peter told him, you and your money perish, because this stuff is not for sale. Your heart is not right. We forget it's God. Says, Paul, let you know. Paul acknowledged that in the same way person sleeps and awakes, the Christian who dies will arise to life. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43. John chapter 11, verse 11. He is quoting the Old Testament and letting you know that what happened then will happen now. We're dying in Christ. This refers to Jim, the brother of Jesus, who became the leader of the church in Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 1 and 19. The apostles likely to refer to the 11 apostles represent at Christ's resurrection and still living at this time may also refer to the 72. Paul began to look back and forth in the Word of God. Everybody didn't die at that time. There was still some living. Well, we know all of them dead now. all of them still laying in the grave waiting for their tombs, waiting for the return of Christ, where the dead in Christ will rise first. Those that still alive will be caught up with us. We want to let this thing out so that people must see, people must hear, people must know. This is not a fly by night stuff. You can't fall in love today and out of love tomorrow. This is not a midnight situation. This is an everyday 24/7 thing. The gospel. We must live the gospel. The gospel must be the light that shines that we walk in. We walk in. We live it. Not just teaching it. Not just preaching it. We must live the gospel out. Hallelujah. When you offend somebody, shut it down quick. Make apology quick. Repent quick. You offend somebody, say, I'm so sorry. And mean it. Don't just say it. And then the next day, go do the same thing. Mean it. Because people apologize the next week, next month, next year, to come back with the same dumb stuff, acting simple. And then people get correction, they can't stand correction. The truth is, without correction, there's no growth. I know one time my pastor shut me down, because I was arrogant. I love to fight. And if you'd have challenged me in the church, I'd say, let's go side. That was me. But I had to be shut down, and everybody was getting ordained. I said, well, I'm leaving here. Pastor said, no, you don't have to leave because we can ordain you. But we can ordain you when God says so. Well, I started visiting another church. And next thing I know, the bishop there made me assistant pastor. And I told the pastor, I told my pastor, man, you know, the bishop so-and-so going to make me. He said, no, we're going to ordain you, because we have several people we're going to ordain. We're going to ordain this coming season. And you're one of the first on the line. I said, wow, okay. My first message that I preached was the tomb was empty. That was my first message, because I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I believe if he rose from the dead, that when my time comes, he will raise me up if I live right. Let's go to the verse 9 of this chapter. I want to do this chapter all the way down, but I probably won't get all the way down today. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 9. Therefore, I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet or worthy to be an apostle, called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. He said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and the grace and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It was not worthless. It was not empty. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul was doing everything that he could to win souls. Why? Because he realized the lifestyle he used to live and what he used to do to the church. So now he turned all of his bad into good. What he used to do for bad, now he turned around and do it for good. Now he got a hunger and thirst to receive more, to put out more. The more he gets from God, the more he gives to the people. He then places and spends, he spent a long time working with his hands, not begging nobody for anything, and preaching the gospel. That way, so nobody can claim that he tricked them or ran any game on them, that he come and use any sophisticated words. And he was a well-learned man. He didn't come and use no sophisticated teaching on them to con them of their money. He tell them straight up. He said, I work for my stuff, you know. But he gave them the truth. Here he says, Paul consider his apostleship to be a sign of God's grace and mercy, because he did not deserve it. We read in Romans 1 and 1. The church, Paul uses the Greek word ecclesia here to refer to all Christians, especially those in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 22. The grace of God, understand this, It's so powerful. Where you have the grace of God upon your life, no matter who come against you. You know, we say that stuff. We say, if God be for me, who can be against? Who can be against me or against us? Where's that? The grace of God. When you truly have the grace of God resting upon you, it don't care who talk about you. People are going to talk about you. They talk about Jesus. I don't want to go to that church no more because they folk talk about me. Well, who care? They talk about Jesus. Even in the church, they're talking about Jesus. You got folk in there that don't believe. You got a preacher down there in Georgia. No, they got all this land. They want to plant marijuana to get people more stoned, so the church get richer off of marijuana. While people committing all kind of crime when they use the marijuana, driving and killing people on the highway, and he wants the church to flow because the greed, that spirit I told you about, mammon. He said you can't serve God and mammon. That's the spirit of greed. It represents money. It represents greed. And he's an ugly spirit, too. I was watching a thing we had about that spirit. The more we want, more we get. More. It says, are we all people most pitiable? It refers to Paul and his companions who endured great suffering for the sake of spreading the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 30. And once you begin to go out for God and make a decision to serve God, you're going to suffer. Things do it. You might not say you got a nice car. But thank God for the wisdom that he's given me. And all of a sudden, something breaks. You don't have the money to fix it. You don't know how to fix it. That's suffering. But there, right there where the car is all messed up and jacked up, the water heater broken, the furnace broken, the air conditioner not working right, you said, Lord, I just thank you. Because I know you'll never forsake me. You'll never leave me. You're always supplying. You're always doing great things for me, Lord. You begin to glorify him. You don't get mad and start going to pity party. Why is all these things happening to me? I'm serving God. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. No. See, you're giving the devil a hold. Excuse me. You're giving the devil a foothold on you. I go to Bible study. I go to midweek service. I help the pastors. I help. No. How much Jesus did? How much the apostles did? Look at Isaiah. They saw him in half. How many of the prophets that would kill? All them prophets. 700. Remember in the book of Kings? All them prophets like Jezebel and Ahab killed. That's the God's people. Only 100 were saved. And the servant of God had 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. From Jezebel and could had to sneak out in the nighttime and feed them water and bread. You said, well, you were on a steak. You want some McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. They had water and bread. Suffering in the cage, hiding for their lives. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through nothing. Paul acknowledged that he was a servant. He said that some of the apostles fall asleep. But if you fall asleep in Christ, you'll rise. You'll come alive, or wake up in Christ. He said falling asleep is a metaphor for the death of the believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you're living for Christ, when you die, you will rise again for Christ. But you got to live for Christ. People want to go to heaven, but they don't want to live the life that God say to live. And then you have some folk in the church that say, ain't pastor. I think some pastor's wife. Yeah, I laugh at them because I said, God forgive me. I laugh because they talk about everybody in the church. The same people they minister to, they talk about behind their back. And then again, they say, I'm going to heaven. Ain't nothing going to stop me from you. Can't go to heaven if you're the gospel. The Bible said that's one of the things God dislikes. He despised this. So we got to start repenting. God, change my mindset. Clean me up from the inside. Create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, Lord. You have to ask God to change you. David was doing all kind of stuff. And if you go back and study the Psalms and some of the Old Testament, First, Second Samuel, he wrote a lot of books. You'll see that David didn't hear from God for a long time, for a season. Couldn't hear. God wasn't talking to him because his hands were dirty. And David had to go back and wait after David repented. God started talking to him again. Because see, when you're walking in that dark street, God is saying that to you. The darkness, which is represents sin, becomes a wall of blockade between you and God. You ought to repent. Repentance pulls down that wall. Now God will talk with you. God will talk with you. He'll have a conversation with you. But we want to act like, oh, God owes something. We live in our life every which way. We can't accept the way God wants us to do. And then we wonder why all hell is breaking loose at us. This is not a jumping message. I didn't come to jump for nobody. The Lord gave me to say yesterday, and I told the pastor, she said, they're all going to, everybody got doctor's appointment, eye appointment, liver appointment, colon appointment, all this kind of stuff. And she just had surgery and all things working out. The grandson had a very strong attack of asthmatic attack, and God pulled him through. Had to get all type of antibiotics and stuff, but thank God he is still alive. Glory to God. But here, see, we got to make up in our mind. We got to make up in our mind. I'm telling you this, because a lot of people saying, I hear a lot of prophets saying, and they're saying, a lot of them prophets saying, oh, their body, on their mind. But I know what God says. I'm laying here, I bought up a week of my, bought something a couple of weeks ago, I said, if I remember correctly, because my mind seems to be playing games with me. And I hear a preacher saying that, and the politician, oh, January going to be this and January going to be that. But I told the pastor, I said, look, the Lord told me, I'm laying on the bed, he says, everybody's preparing for all this bad stuff going to happen in January, and they're going to be surprised because they're preparing for January. But God told me in March, he said in March there's going to be so much uproar in the country, all over the world, for say. It's going to be an uproar. Understand? Glory to God, because God is pouring out his spirit on his people. And Satan going to release some stuff in the earth realm. Watch it, you see. In March. But let's go back in this world. I want to get to say some more to say. Mother Grant, I see you just got on the line not too long ago. Some perish. It refers to the state of condemnation and judgment. Still under the guilt of and power of sin. Some people are dying and going to die because of their own need, their own greed. They don't want to give up the world system. They're coming to the church, but they're still connected. They've got a strong connection to the world system. God said, I brought you out of this world, out of darkness, into my mother's life. He said, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. What are you talking about? He said, you're no longer connected to the world system. But folks don't want to let go of the world system. They still want to operate in the world system when they're supposed to be operating according to God's system. Righteousness, holiness, uprightness, Ten Commandments, following them to the letter, to the T. Obedience to God. We could brag, oh, I give the church this, I give the church that. God don't care now how much money you give the church. He can write 10 checks, 40 checks. He don't concern about that. God is concerned where your heart is with him. Where is your heart with him? Is your heart being sold out to him? Or are you just playing church? When your body talks to you, you suffice your body. I have to have a Budweiser. I have to have a Labatt's beer. Labatt's made in Canada. I should love them beer. I got to have some wine. I got to have a smoke, man. Oh, man, you know what? I'm going to my Susie house. I got to have some sex. Susie, she, you know, she loves to be with me. I love to be with her. But you're forgetting God wants you to be with him. He wants you to stop fornicating. He wants you to stop committing adultery. He wants you to stop lying. He wants you to stop stealing. He wants you to stop hurting people, abusing people, offending people spiritually and mentally. Naturally, he wants you to stop. He wants us to stop. We're preaching the word hard, hard for God. And we're offending our brothers and sisters. And we're wondering why we're going through so much stuff, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Man, my truck, I was going to have a brother of mine on Saturday, and the weather was so bad. Man, I thought my truck was going to flip over the Tobin Bridge. And the wind came over the top of the bridge and pushed the truck. And Lord Jesus, I started praying. My two knees were knocking. I tell you no lie, I was afraid. But the Lord said, I got you, son. I got you. And the computer says, get off at the next exit. I didn't take it because I wanted to go and help my friend. I thought his furnace was broken, but all he wanted was a cleaning. I told him, I said, when I fell, and then the computer wanted to take me around the wrong circle and bring me back on that same bridge. I said, no, I'm going home. And they bring me home safe. And I called him. He said, man, I'm so sorry. I said, well, I serviced his furnace about 2 years ago. I thought that this furnace was broken. He said, no, it wasn't broken. I just needed service. I said, man, you called me a day when it's snowing and the wind is crazy, the weather's bad. And you know I got to come over that bridge. He said, man, I'm so sorry. I said, you'll call me back or I'll call you when it's a good day. Then the day, the weather's not bad. But Paul here, he's talking about the gospel of Yeshua or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul here talking to us. We are all people most pitiable. Paul refers to his companions who endured great suffering for the sake of preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians, we got it here, chapter 15, verse 30. This is what Paul says. This is what he says. Glory to God. Away stand we in jeopardy every hour. See, folk is going through stuff like I'm saying. We up one day, we down one day. We cross, we back and forth, we in, we out. Because we're not standing in faith, trusting and obeying the gospel. The gospel cannot lie. There's lying all over the internet. It's all over Twitter. It's all over YouTube. It's all over Periscope. It's all over Facebook. It's all over the media. The White House, the outhouse, it's everywhere. The police department, the fire department, the hospital room, it's everywhere. But in the gospel, it's truth. You can't find no lie in the gospel. The gospel is true. The gospel says he was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us. There's no lying in that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. You can trust it. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be of a contingency. You may be. Why he said maybe? Because we got to live to be with him. You got to live. Because you want to get baptized and you read a little Bible, it don't mean you're going to be with him. If you don't live to live again, you're not going to be with him. We got to live to be with Christ. We become so offensive. We want to offend everybody. If people don't agree with us, we offend them. We can't stand them. I love the gay people. I love the lesbians. I love the dope dealer. I love the prostitute. I love the gangbang. I love all of them. But I hate the sin. God knows I hate the sin. David says, I hate what you hate, and I love what you love. That's what we got to get. You see, if we operate in that mindset that we can't stand them folk because they're living contrary to us, we ain't going to win them for Christ. We're not going to win them for Christ. We're not going to win them. We got to tell them, well, Christ, he's coming back. He's coming back for this church. And if you want to be the part of the church, you have to repent. And repent simply means that you got to turn from what you're doing. Stop sinning. Stop lying. Talking to my mama just said, boy, you're talking to the side of your neck. She knew when I wasn't telling the truth. And I'm going to get a slap. Or I'm going to get hit with a shoe. Next up to my head. Hallelujah. She knew exactly when I wasn't telling the truth. Now watch out and tell, my utmost best, I try my utmost best to tell people the truth if they even hit me. Because I remember every time I tell a lie, my mom would knock me out. She knocked the daylights out of me. I mean, I see stars. I remember one time I drank all the milk. And my mama liked me. She come from work. She liked to make a cup of tea. And we had the condensed milk. That's very, very thick milk. It lasts a long time because they didn't have to use much. But I like them because it was sweet. And I drink all the condensed milk. When mama come, I done to hide the can. I put the can outside or something. Boy, she beat me with that can. She went and find that can. I said, no, Mom, I didn't drink the milk. I never seen the milk. I mean, it was the milk. I didn't see the milk. Boy, you better stop telling lies. She said, did you find that can? That woman beat me. I ran underneath the table. She come underneath the table and grabbed me up from underneath the table and beat me with that can. I got a mark in my head for that. I remember all that stuff. And all that stuff made me want to live right. Even today, I got a Bible, this Bible that I'm teaching out of here, King James Version. Her picture is plastered, taped on, you know, inside the front page. And I opened the Bible at the first day. I said, she's gone home to be with the Lord. Couldn't read or write. But I tell you something, when she heard the scripture, she memorized every scripture she heard. When she heard the hymns, she memorized the hymns. She didn't learn to read or write. She signed an X for her name. But I tell you, that woman had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness like nobody I know. That one thing could say about my mama. She wasn't perfect, but one thing could tell she loved the Lord. And I always tell myself, oh God, it brings tears on my eyes. I always tell myself, I wish she could see me now, see my desire, how God has changed my life because I couldn't do this on my own. Here, let's go back here. Jesus, have mercy. Let's look at verses 19. And we're jumping up and down. He says, if we have put our hope in Christ and in this life only, we are of all people most pitiful. See, your hope got to be in the life to come. We're not just going up to the altar and say, well, I'm saved and sanctified. But I'm excited about now. But see, I'm living for to live again. I'm living for the new life in him. I'm living to have my ring of sonship, to have my crown of glory. I'm living to have that robe. I'm living to have my slippers, golden slippers on my feet. But so what it means in order to live out the gospel is that you're going to have to deny yourself, totally deny you. You're going to have to even deny some family members, some friends, some associates. Some co-workers, you're going to have to deny them. It doesn't mean that you hate them or dislike them, but you're going to have to deny their lifestyle. Even some of your close family members, sons and daughters, you're going to have to deny them because they're not living the life. That don't mean you don't pray for them because you want to pray them out of darkness like somebody prayed you and I out of darkness. You got to pray for them. But if you want to live with Christ, you have to live now. Live the life now. Make a difference in this realm that you're in now if you want to get into that realm. Because in this realm, there's temptations. Temptations, the eye, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Three temptations going to come at you all the time. Satan don't have a lot of arsenals. The same tree that he used in the garden is the same tree that he used on all of us all the time. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We are very puffed up, especially when we get a raise on a job, especially when we get a better job, especially when we get a new car or we get a new home, we get a better swimming pool, a better house with a better swimming pool, and all that stuff. We are puffed up. We think we're better than everybody else. We got it going on. We got some money in the bank. We got it all going on. It's nothing to that stuff. It comes and goes. We can't take nothing with us. Can't take nothing with us. That's why we want to live for Christ. Let me give you a little bit more of this, and then we're going to and open the line, maybe close the line. Let's go. Jesus. 20, verse 20. Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. He said, but now, excuse me, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. See, Christ is the example. He's the example that he's risen from the dead. Those who die in Christ will rise from the dead too. This is our hope. This is our confidence Paul talked about. Hallelujah. We are not living in vain. We have a confidence that says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is gospel. This is truth. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to stay here forever. My granddaughter always says, oh, Grandpa, don't talk about that. She don't like me to talk about dying. She don't talk about that. I said, I'm not going to live here forever. You have to prepare yourself that when God comes, that you can stand flat-footed on your 2 feet and live right. Take notice of my lifestyle. My son said, Daddy, I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you. See how your life has changed. I said, well, you start changing yours. And I sent him stuff on Facebook, on his inbox message. I said, I hope you're doing this, hope you're doing that. Because you can't live on my salvation. You got to get your own salvation. Paul said, you got to work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. We got to live this thing out. There's no time for talking. Time out for talking. The only time you're talking is when you're leading somebody to Christ. You're pointing them to Christ through the Gospels. But we have to live this thing out. We got to become living epistles. Start living this stuff. Let your light shine that man will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. We got to live this thing out. Verse 21. This is what it says. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. See, the death came through Adam. Disobedience in the garden, Adam and Eve. But life came through Christ dying on the cross. Eternal life comes through him. He paid a debt for us that we could not pay. So that we would have access to life everlasting, to the tree of life. He is the tree of life. He's the fountain of life. That's why he said, except you eat this bread and drink this blood. No part of him. He said, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus, have mercy. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. This is the hope. We're living for this. This is why we're living this life. We're living that when he come, he'll receive us to himself. We can't say I'm going back with Christ. But if I'm living a lying, deceptive lifestyle, I can preach this from now till next year. Preach it till the sun come up. Tell the cows don't mow. Or tell the cows mow, whatever you call it. I'm not going nowhere with him. I'll be condemned to hell. Sin will condemn me. Christ don't have to condemn you. Sin will condemn you to hell if you live a sinful lifestyle. Peter said, well, how can a righteous, loving God send mankind to hell? No, God ain't going to send nobody to hell. He said, beloved, he said, he says, it's not my desire that any should perish. He's not going to send nobody to hell. Our lifestyle, our sinful lifestyle, your sinful, whoever lifestyle they are, that living contrary to the word of God, that refusing to obey Christ as Lord and Savior, will send them to hell. What sent people to jail, to the penitentiary for life sentence? This young man just got 300 years life sentence. I said, why did they tell him 300? 100 years for the 100 years, right? And then give him many more years. He said, 30 years for nothing, 30 years for nothing. I said, why did she do that? She said, I've never seen a crime like this. Any crime. He said, I've been on the bench for 19 years, he said, and I've seen read about all types of murders. But I've never read any murders as horrific as these. This young man, I don't think he was in his 30s. Looked like he was early 30s, if that. And he killed all these people. Killed all these people. Young man, young African American. And I mean, he really knocked these people up. You know, it had to be some kind of real demon, a very horrific demon that took over his mind. And he got one to fuss with a judge in there. Judge said, look, if you're going to fuss with me, I'm going to have the sheriff just take you over here because I don't need to be with you. I can sentence you without you standing in front of me. She told him that. Well, you know what happens is that we decide that we want to live contrary to God's word and we want to act like we got it together. We know. We got this thing down. I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. All I need is myself. I'm my own woman. I'm my own man. Guess what happened? That's your mistake right there. You're confessing that you're your own man. You're your own woman. And he told Jeremiah, I know you before you were in your mother's womb. Paul said he was born, he was chosen as, according to the apostle, as one out of time, out of season. So God knew that Paul was going to be an apostle for him before he called him out, before he called him out on the way to Damascus. God knows what your lifestyle is going to be. Are you going to live it out? Or do you have to take your life, your eyesight first, like he did with Saul? Took his eyesight away from him. Shut him down from the natural worldly lifestyle, the worldly vision. Because these things distract us. Well, all that we see and hear distract us. Sometimes we got to go deaf. We got to go blind before we really begin to see. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to give you two more verses inside here, and then we're going to go. I come back to this the next time when I come back. The Lord says, I just got to hear. Just got to be open. I got a lot of scriptures here to go to. But we got to, okay, I got to go to John 3:16. Let's see where it goes down. Hallelujah, Jesus. In my kingdom, the resurrection, it refers to Jesus Christ as the representative of those who will overcome death and receive eternal life. In Romans 5:14, I think I read that earlier. See, once you make a decision to adhere to the voice of God, your life never becomes the same. Your life does not remain the same. Paul uses a metaphor to present Christ's resurrection of believers in 1 Corinthians 15:34-35-53. We're going to read that when we come back. Paul makes the thing so plain because the Corinthian church was going through so much discord. I mean, like you can say, well, you got half the people or three-quarters of people or a quarter of the people believing, and then the three-quarters or a quarter don't believe. They're causing confusion. So Paul has to take time, spend time with them, breaking this thing down, what he has received from the Lord. He has breaking this thing down for them to understand that this resurrection, this death, this burial, this resurrection is real. It's not a figment of his imagination. He says, well, let me just show you, because so many people don't believe. And today you got young people, this evangelist was talking to some people out of school, and they was asking these young people, men and girls and boys, about the resurrection, about crucifixion. And God says, young man, ask the man, go to school, study something, you know, I think economics or something. He said, no, I never know. How can you live in a world and never heard about the resurrection? Well, we have Resurrection Sunday and all this stuff going on. Good Friday and all this stuff going on every year. But they haven't been taught because they teach you now how to be John, husband and wife, Mary and lady, all this kind of foolishness. Two women married, two men. They teach you all this stuff. They got transgendered and transvestites and all this stuff going into the school, teaching them how to boys to be with boys and girls and boys. But they wouldn't teach them about Christ's death on the cross. They wouldn't teach them about salvation. They wouldn't talk about, wouldn't allow them to play in the school. None of that good stuff. But all the satanic stuff they take to the children. And they say that's okay. They say that's okay. They say, well, it's your body. You can have abortion. All the things that are disrupted and contrary to God's word they want to teach. And even the kids that are 12 years, 11 years, are fussing on the streets. They're walking next to their mother, next to their father, and they're having abortion things with them. That's in my body. Little kids, I've seen them on TV in the match. This is my body. I can do what I choose. This is my body. Nobody can tell me. Because the devil is in controlling them. See, this is his realm. This is his realm. And the people are moving farther and farther left away from truth. Away from truth. But Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And we pray, God, that we have said something today through this message. That somebody, when they hear this message, we're going to come back with a part two and a part three. We have a lot to do with this message. We want to talk about Ruth, and we want to talk about Solomon, and about Isaiah. Man. But mainly we're going to be talking about Jesus in all of these books as we come back to do some word this week. God bless. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to thank God for you today anyway. And we pray that we have said something that kind of ignite your spirit, man, to really want to take a deeper look at your soul salvation and consider whether if Christ come back today, if he come back tonight or tomorrow, when if he come back right now, if you would be ready, if your soul is prepared to go back with him. And I got a note that I got written down here, and it says, your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say the person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose and determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven. And to be sure that you would enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You'll find that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. Also in Romans chapter 6 and 23, it says that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you sin, there is a reward, wages. I want you to know this. The same way if you live right before God, if you be obedient to God, that there's a reward. Same way if you sin, live a sinful lifestyle. If you just thinking about satisfying your flesh and doing fleshy stuff, you're going to pay. I thank God that he called me when he called me, because I was on my path, the path to hell. Number two, excuse me. You must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own efforts. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, Paul said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, when Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life, remember, no one took his life. He laid down his life for you and I, for all who would call upon him in repentance. He laid down his life so that we would have access to the tree of life. When we call on him, the doors of heaven opened right away. It opened for us. As we call upon him, the Father received us as his sons and daughters. But then we got to continue to live as sons and daughters. Because the same way the door opened, the door can close. I want you to know that, because the Bible says so. The same way the doors open, the same way the door can close. Number three, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say that he was one of the ways, like some people are saying, that there are many ways. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Hear that? When you get Jesus, not only do you get to go in, walk in that way, that straight and narrow path, but you get to hear the truth, to know the truth. He said you should know the truth. The truth should make you free. And also you begin to drink from the true river of life. Jesus is the river of life. Understand me? He says, number four, accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Some may say, I'm still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day that he returned, on Judgment Day, or the day he returned to receive his church? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. And consider that your salvation is a blessing, because he said so. It's a gift from God. You can't purchase it. Your mama can't give it to you. Your daddy, your husband, your wife, your children, your boss, nobody can give it to you. It's a gift from God. That's real. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. Quickly means he's coming quicker than quick. Revelation 22:7. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath or God's judgment. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Bible also said that John 3:16, Bible said that God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. The Bible said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love light rather than darkness. You see, people are running to all of this stuff that is so demonic, satanic, and leading them to death. But they wouldn't come where the man or woman is preaching about Jesus. It's preaching about eternal life. They don't want to come where the man of God or woman of God is preaching against sin. They want to go where they get a prophetic word, because Paul says the ears are itching them. They got itchy ears. They want to go someplace where they're going to hear something that's going to satisfy their flesh, their desires. They don't want to go someplace where the word is going to convict their spirit man to say, it's time for me to truly surrender. Not surrender, but truly surrender. Because when you truly surrender, you're going to begin to live different. This is how you know you're truly. When I first come in, I didn't truly surrender. I'm going to just be honest with you. I wanted God, but my flesh still wanted the things of the world. The world system still had a hold on me. So I was working. It was a struggle. My pastor even said, she said, son, she and her husband said, son, we are praying for you. We know that you got a struggle. We've been praying for you night and day. And when I got the breakthrough, when the Lord truly took over my heart, I mean, when I surrendered it to him, because God was willing to take my heart, but I was holding it back. See, God is such a, he's such a sweet, loving God. He's not going to just come and take your heart on it. He give you a will. And you have to surrender your will, which is a choice, to him, to want to live for him, to want him to turn your life around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just like you in a ship, and you got the wheel, you got the rudder at the helm. And you know that the wind is going to turn up the ship upside down. And God said, if you just give me the rudder, I'll bring you to the land safely. But you keep holding the rudder or the wheel. The moment you let go of the wheel, the rudder, and you put it in God's hand, you'll find yourself to that safe place. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive, see, gift, blessings, the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. All that believed. See, this is the thing that God is wanting and needing, is for us to come together. There's too much a great division in the church. But God wants us to come together. That's why he said in John 17 that the glory that he had with the Father, he gave to us, that we have become one as he and the Father is one. God wants us to become one. You know, when we become one, we'll think alike, we'll do alike, we'll do what he said. We'll operate under the same banner, under the same unction, the same anointing, the same guidance that he laid down here in these 66 books. The Bible says here, Peter says in Acts chapter 4, he said, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. See, this man was at the gate called Beautiful. He was at the gate called Beautiful, begging alms. And when he saw Peter and John, he received what he wasn't looking for. Just like the woman at Jacob's well that went to draw water. She received what she wasn't looking for. She received eternal life right at the well. And Peter told her, and John said, look upon us. Silver and gold have us now, but such as I have given us thee, said, arise and walk. And Peter reached out and took him by his right hand, and he began to get strength. The Spirit of God began to overtake this man. So Peter let them know that it's not them, but it's the Spirit that working through them. This is the one, this is the stone that, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when the anointing begin to flow through you and you begin to walk in the boldness of Christ and you begin to walk upright, oh God, in holiness, righteousness, people will know that you had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I give you some scriptures today, and there's much more we can give you, but we give you just what the Lord wants us to give you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to know him, today is a good day. Tomorrow is not promised. The sort of prophetess curse she was on the whole service. She just got out. Maybe she got to go to work. But we, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day for you to receive. I would like to say that tomorrow, this afternoon, the next hour, we had a preacher that we ordained from Texas. He used to always say, he said he could start his own church. He said, today's a good day. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And, you know, I didn't get it when he was saying it, but I get it now. Today's a good day because as you look around and see how much young people are dying in crashes and all this stuff, even with Saturday, we had a bad storm and so many people die. So many people die. I came home and then I was telling my baby, I said, well, there was police tape was everywhere. What's going on? She said there was a homicide at that house. I said, wow. And now they find out that the woman's man, her boyfriend or whatever, is charged. And it all happened over the dibbing and dabbing and all this drug that they got coming, fentanyl and cocaine and heroin and all this stuff that's coming to the city and all these different cities. This is what the enemy is using to take people out. If you don't, you don't show. People are crashing, driving down the highway and losing control. One young man, he in the morning, what they say, I think they say he was 16 and a half, 17 years old. And he driving going down the road, lose control of the car and run into the barrier. Just down the street from the house, maybe 10 minutes from the house. And he hit the barricade. He died instant. Not knowing Christ. Who knows there'd be no Christ? You know? So life is not promised. It's not promised that you're going to live to see the next day. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take that time. Take this time. And still, you know what, even you may have messed up several times, because we all slip and we all slip from time to time, and we, you know, say things and do things that take us out of the fellowship with the Savior. Man, I said, Lord, you know, I heard the word today. You don't have to tell me. In your private time, say, Lord, I heard the word today, and I'm convicted in my heart that I'm not living to live again. You know, Lord, I'm slipping, and I'm doing things that I know that if I die now, that I wouldn't enter into heaven. I wouldn't be able to go back with you if you show up right now, because my life is not on track with living to live again like the apostle talk about. And if that's you today, just say this prayer with me. And if you don't know him, say the same prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus, I believe, according to the scripture, that you were crucified on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, Calvary. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, that you were crucified there on that hill for my sins, for my transgressions. You, the king, and I am the peasant. You gave your life so that I would have life. Jesus, I come to you this day, denouncing Satan and this world system, all that it stands for, all of his agents. Jesus, today is the 19th day of December. I know you know the date, but I just put it up there for my record. And on this day, Jesus, I am inviting you to enter my heart. Come in now and take control of my heart. Forgive me of my sins according to 1 John 1 and 9. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I give you the right to throw. I no longer want to be in control of my life, but I want you to be the captain, just like the preacher talked about the ship and holding the rudder. I want you to be the captain of my ship. I want you to hold the wheel. I want you to hold the rudder. I want you to lead me to that safe place in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you now, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, Jesus. My Redeemer and my soon coming King. I repent of my sins, Lord. All that I have done that kept me away from you for so many years, Lord. And today I come, O God, with open heart, open mind, open soul. I ask you to come in, Jesus, and take up your rightful place. Burn up everything in me, in my heart, in my soul that is not like you, Jesus. And set my feet on that rock of salvation. Jesus, I submit to you and I commit to you all that I have, my heart, my soul, my mind. I ask you to feed me and cause my cup, O God, to overflow. Jesus, give me what I need to live that life that pleases you, that brings honor to the Father, and I will live that life. Give me a clear understanding of your word, Jesus. Lord, my ears are open to you. My eyes are open to lead me in the path to everlasting life. If you have just said that prayer, you believe what you said, and you truly commit your heart to him, I just rededicated my life. You have just received the gift of salvation. And you'll just need to be baptized. Need to get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. So you get a good understanding of the gospel that we're teaching about. Times are growing close. We're closer. Closer than when we first began. If you look at the news and you read the newspaper and listen to, and see the television commentators, you would know that we're closer. Things are getting closer, but you need to have a reassurance in your own spirit, man, that you are on the right path with Jesus. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. If you want to be baptized, because the Bible says when you're baptized, instantly the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. He said in 1 John 4:4, you become children of God, and you overcome them, the wicked ones of the world, and he becomes greater inside of you. So once you're going to get baptized, the preacher might say they're baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But don't be fussing with the pastor. Because some people say, I don't know. The preacher told me I got to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. I don't want to be baptized. Don't do that. Because that very church facility, God might take you back there to be the pastor. He might say there may be a time in your life that the pastor might cross over, or that he may resign and they need a pastor. The pastor may say, well, I don't want to preach anymore, because a lot of preachers resign. I don't know how I can resign. As long as I have breath in my body and I can still think and I can walk and so on, even if I can't walk, I'm still going to talk about Jesus. Can he take the voice away? And the preacher said they don't baptize in Jesus' name. So, well, okay. That's all right. I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my family and my guests and stuff, because this is the best time of your life. Your baptism, you know, is part of salvation according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Read it for yourself. It's part of your salvation, baptism. And then once you get set up and you find somebody will baptize you according to Acts 2:38, and you get your guests together, friends, family, co-workers, even your enemies, you get together to come to this is the greatest occasion in your life, baptism, you know, closing in on salvation, because the final salvation is when he comes. The completion of your salvation is when he comes with all his angels and the trumpet sound. That's going to be your completion of your salvation. You know, this is the beginning. You know, you're making an open declaration that you belong to Christ. When you go down that water, you come back about that water. Oh, my God, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. I know I took off. I started running. I was so excited. I mean, something would happen. You know, I haven't had a feeling like that before. And I run off. But after you come about that water and you get yourself situated and dry off and stuff, you don't wait till the next day. Start looking. And maybe the church that baptized you, maybe you may want to go to that church. You maybe want to become a member, but when you become, join the church, because now your family, you're part of the family of God. Don't just be a spectator, because a lot of people just go and sit down. And say, I ain't called to be a preacher. Everybody don't call to be a preacher, but you called to be a part of the body of Christ. And every member have a part to play. God will show you where your part is. I started out cleaning the bathrooms. I started out, my trade is plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. So I started fixing. I was happy. When they said, well, the other day the bathroom was broken. The sink is not working. I said, no problem. I got my tools in the car. I would go outside, jump in my jumper. I got one of those aircraft jumpers, flight jumpers, you know, like the aircraft and people that in the Army use, a green one, just like it. I'll go jump in my jumper and get my toolbox, and I come inside the house, in the house of God, and fix what I need. That was ministry, you know. Because everybody can't be on the altar at the same time. And God wants to make you a priest to preach. He'll make you a priest. But start doing something. Pick up the trash around the building. Do something. Tell the pastor, Pastor, can I come in there? They make some churches clean the church 2-3 times a week. Sometimes two times a week. You say, well, Pastor, well, I'll take Wednesday night. I'll take Monday night. And, you know, choose a day that you're off. And say, well, that day I'm going to come down and clean the I'm going to clean the church. I'm going to clean the altar. You know, all that is ministry. I'm going to be an usher. Do something. But don't be a spectator. God looking for workers. You see, the harvest is plentiful already, but the labors are few. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this word. Mother Grant, you can come on in and read now if you're ready to read. Come on in. We can get some more. We can never get enough
praise
work.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to everybody
good morning.
On the line. God bless you, Apostle.
God bless you too, Mother. Good morning.
And your family. Blessing to everybody on the line this morning. I know I've been gone, but I've been going. Lord, tired, but I've been going. I've been getting out. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I've been hitting everything that is free.
Yeah.
All that's free,
that's
I've been going. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, they've been doing a lot for us citizens. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I've been blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord is good.
Yes, been going. I went this morning, but I come back home. I said, Lord, I need to do something now. I had to season up my turkey, got to bake. I got to start something here because tomorrow we got another Christmas party. Two places I go.
Woo!
That Christmas party. I just go to one and go to the other one. I thank God. Thank
Glory.
You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. God is good. My reading is saying success. The house of righteousness continue great treasure, but the income of the wicked bring them trouble. Proverbs 15
Jesus.
And 6. Humanity and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 22 and 4. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperity in all your work, prosperous in all your work, of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crop of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delights in your father. Deuteronomy 30 and 9. He will also send you rain for the seeds you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadow. Isaiah 30 and 23. That everyone may eat and drink and find infection and perfection sufficient in all his toil. This is a gift of God. Ecclesiastes 3 and 13. The Lord will open the heavens and storehouse of boundary to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lead to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the coming of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day, carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Deuteronomy 28:11 and 13. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and proposition and enable him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work. This is a gift of God. Ecclesiastes 5 and 19. What you decide on your will be done, and light will shine on your ways. Job 22 and 28. With me are riches and honor, endurance, wealth, and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. Proverbs 8:18 and 19. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endured forever. Psalms 102 and 3. And assign your nugget to the dust, your gold and opry to the rocks, and the revine them. The Almighty will be your gold, the choicest silver for you. Job 22:24 and 25. I will provide grass in the field for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Deuteronomy 11 and 15. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessing and prosperity will be yours. Psalms 128 and 2. They will build house and dwell in them. They will plant vineyard and eat their fruit. No longer will they build house and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, you will be the days of my people. My chosen one will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will toil in vain of their children, doomed of misfortune, for they will be a people blessing by the Lord. They and their descendants with them, Isaiah 65 and 21 and 23. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crop of your hands and the young of your living stock, the calf of your head and the lamb of your flock, your basket and your kneading rough tough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Deuteronomy 28, 2 and 6. And may God end his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you for that awesome teaching, reading of the word. Just tell you that, we have to live this life. You know, if we live right, we're going to be blessed. If we live wrong, it's a possibility that you'll be cursed. Because we need to live right according to God's word. And honor his word, follow his word, live his word. So the line is open for anyone that want to respond. If you have time, you can respond.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the word today. It was packed, so you have to reflect, to unpack and listen. But most important, what I heard is belonging to the Lord and allowing him to do the work in your life through the Holy Spirit. Everybody.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for coming on and listening to the word of God, because it's his word that he gives to us to deliver to his people. We thank God for you. This is a strong word the Lord has given to me. I tell you, that word had me weeping. I tell you, when the word touched me like that, I know God is always saying something. But when he had me weeping like that, whew, I know he's doing something. He's doing something. And I pray that everybody that heard this word today and those that would hear it later when I send it out on the internet, that they would really receive it and take note of what God is saying to his people. You know, because it's not David Callen, it's God, you know. All that's why I keep, like Mother Grant, bring the word, written word. I bring the written word. I may elaborate a little bit, but I elaborate according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that I didn't carry any notes. And this word is a blessed word. It's a blessed word. Keep Apostle Washington and Bishop in prayer, and her daughter and her son-in-law and her grandson, who they all were going through. Bishop picked up some infection in his eye. I don't know which one. We were talking yesterday. He sung well, though, but in the body. The enemy tried to take him out a couple of times, but God kept him on this side of the grave. But now he got an infection in one of his eyes that he's just itching. You know how we do when your eye itch, we rub. And that make it even worse. So the whole eye become inflamed. So he had to go to the doctor today, plus he had other stuff that has to be checked, his heart, and, you know, and other things. And the apostle have some checkups, some stuff she's having checked up. Then the daughter, Sion, she had some type of surgery, which the healing is healing well, but she have to have a check on that too. So, but keep them in prayer. As I said in the word, if you serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go through some trials and some suffering. But you got to praise him while you're going. You know, I went in there a couple of weeks ago. I went in with my heart because I was getting a pain on the left side of my heart. I know my heart. I ain't lift that in heavy, so. But I went and I had run the treadmill, do that stress test, and then had to go back the second day for them to take all types of x-rays of my heart, the back, side, all kind of how I had this big old machine come down over my body, go around my body, everywhere. But I tell you that since I had that test, I came home, I tell my wife, I said, honey, you know what? Boy, our God is amazing. As I had the test, and now the heart is doing better. I hardly had any pain at all from the heart. The breathing is good. Everything is good. But God tell you, go get checkup. Go get checkup. On next checkup I got to go is I have to go get, because I think it's about 4 years I had a colonoscopy. I have to go and I see my doctor again. Excuse me. I
bless
have
you.
Him check the book and see when, thank you, the last time I had a colonoscopy, because a lot of black people die from colon cancer, you know.
Yeah.
And, they don't go and have no checkup, you know. It don't take you no long time to have a checkup, you know. Go have a checkup. The worst part about it is drinking that dirty thing they give you to drink. That filthy stuff you got to drink that make you go to the bathroom all night long. You know, to get all the stuff out of your intestines. Once you get that out, man, you'll be there in maybe 45 minutes, you're over and gone. You know, but they'll let you know. And then if you have polyps inside there, they'll take them out. But if you don't have a checkup and you got polyps, my wife just had a colonoscopy. She just had one. Her sister's going to get one. You know, you have to check on yourself. There's those polyps staying there that turn to cancer. You know, they get inflamed, they turn to cancer. Next thing you know, it's too bad. They're too far gone. They start eating up all your lower intestines. And what happens is now you're going to die because you don't want to go. Go. I don't care if you're a man or woman. Go have a checkup. If you haven't had a checkup, go get a checkup. The life you save may be your life. You live long enough to see your grandkids, see your great-grandkids, and grow old with your husband or grow old with your wife, you know. Anyway, the line is open. Anyone that's want to come on and expound, if you want to pray, you can come on in prayer. And it doesn't matter. The line is open.
You know, Apostle and Mother Grant, hello.
Hello.
I'm off for a month, so that's why I'm on, but I can be on. But one of the things, as you were just speaking, I was thinking about the part that you talked about, Paul on the way to Damascus, to get whatever he needed because he wanted to bring Christians in to persecute them. And Jesus intervened and blinded him on the side of the road. And as you were speaking, it hit me that, I don't know if this was today or earlier I heard, without Jesus there would be no New Testament. And how he used Paul to write a great deal of the New Testament, as well as James, all the apostles, and something I believe you said about James, which is, it like registered in my spirit as a leader. And so he talked about the power of the tongue. And then when you were speaking about the Washingtons, it reminded me what I'm learning on this job about suffering. When we are called by Christ and we are part of his family, we will suffer, but we all have our cross to bear. And one of the things Elder Norman talked about is our crossroads, where we would meet people at our personal crossroads. And I experienced that on yesterday, that the path we take when we're following Christ and working to submit to God, we find we don't control. We're on our journey. And we don't know what the journey entails or whose paths we will cross, but be ye ready to do the Lord's will. And it hit me that when we go through, thank God we have an advocate in heaven. Thank God we have our Father to talk to in prayer, who through the Holy Spirit will enlighten our understanding and help us on this journey of why we go through what we go through. But the word says when two or three are gathered in the name, touching and agreeing, he is in the midst. So I just want to lift this up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your word, Lord. Healing is the children's bread. And as mentioned, the enemy has tried and circumstances have tried to take Brother James Washington out. But Father, we touch and agree in Jesus' name that you will heal his eye and that you will continue to bless the marriage. Father, we pray and touch and agree for Pastor Washington. Apostle Washington, Bishop James Washington, Union, oh God, that whatever she needs to do, we pray that you heal her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. We ask you that you help her to move in grace, them both to move in grace.
Yeah.
As they go through the healing process and the testimony of what you do, and do best, and that is be that is at all by yourself. Father, we ask you to bring clarity to the test, touch the doctor's mind and gifts of healing to bring it to an expected end, that by your stripes they are healed. And that whatever they need to do to perfect that healing, we ask you to do it for your glory. And Father, we lift up the family this holiday season and all the families, Apostle. Thank you, Father, that he can talk about his son in a different way, that he's not behind the jail bar, but he can see the light and the life of his father. Father, we pray for this father and son relationship. We pray that you build it in Jesus' name. We pray for the family. We pray that you build the family, this family, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the testament of Nancy, who stood by her husband through the good and the bad all those years. Obviously, because she loves him. And so, Father, we pray for this union. And we pray for the union of the Washington and all marriages, the Stewart family. Oh, God, that you strengthen the cords of the Stewart family. Oh, God,
yes,
we pray for the dimensions that Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. We thank you for the dimensions in Christ, that Paul, doing all that he did, comes to this place where he finds out when he's blind, he's not in control, and where he has to go and what he must do. Locked up, beat, and all the things he went through for the cause of Christ. And that is helping me through dealing with my coworker and even the executive chef to say to me, he's mean. Lord, you're going to do the work. And so, Father, I pray that we yield under your mighty hand. Thank you for Mother Grant today. Thank you for her willingness to serve. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, your joy, which is her strength. All the things that she has gone through with her family. I need to say in this prayer, it's not a closing prayer. It's just the way I feel led to pray right now. I thank you for the cheeriness of her voice I hear when I talk to her. Father, thank you for those who could not be here today. Thank you for Deacon Frazier, his mother, and his family, and all that they have gone through as a family. The loss of her husband just a few years ago. But she had a chance to love again. She had a chance to have a relationship with a man who loved her, and she loved him. Thank you for these splendors of love that we go through in our life. Thank you for even getting us through disappointment, because, Lord, if we weren't disappointed, when something good comes, we wouldn't even appreciate it, because we were on this beds of ease. But life, it's like in Forrest Gump. It's like a bowl of chocolate, a box of chocolate. You never know which one you're going to get. So, Father, with you, all things are possible, you said, to those that believe. And so, Lord, I thank you for my life. I thank you for the ups and the downs. I thank you for the hard times. I thank you for the uncertain times, and I thank you for the good times. I thank you for the friendships that have been with me throughout the years, and I thank you for those who have been in my life who have gone on to be with you. I pray for the cherished relationships in the members of this ministry. May they blossom. May they grow deeper and have more meaning before we go to our final destiny, O God. Father, we thank you. It says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I would never know that you could solve them. We would never know what faith in God will do. So, Father, we pray and thank you for what you've already done at Calvary. But right now we're in the season of the new beginning, and the seasons of birth, and the seasons of a new year coming. We're in a season of the expected one coming to do the will of the Father. We thank you in this liturgical season of Christmas and Hanukkah. What you have shown about who you are. For the word I heard on yesterday at church, the bread of life. Thank you for all of your attributes. May we live it out and experience it in our hearts, these attributes. And Lord, we pray that you do a work in us, that when you said that you would make our enemies a footstool, we can't do it, but you can. Even for those who don't believe. And Father, I lift up my brother asking you to help me in the conversation I will have with him as he's been in the hospital for 7 days. Now going, I don't know if he's home yet, but it will be the 10th day since I got his message. Father, I pray. It doesn't matter what people say or do. It does. It affects us. But we can hide in you. We can go to this place in you to get peace and wisdom and hear your voice. Thank you in Jesus' name for what you are doing and have already done in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for that awesome prayer. We thank God for you, and all will be well, because I felt it in your voice. It will be well for you. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. I will share this. Have to trust the Lord. You have to trust the Lord. And sometimes we have to just sit back and observe. Because everything, and I say this, I've seen this to Apostle yesterday, everything does not need a response. If it's not of God, I don't need to respond. You know what I'm saying? If it's not of God, because the enemy is very, 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 very smart. He's very cunning. Satan is an intelligent foe. Very intelligent. You know, he was God's right hand. You know, right there with him. So he's smart. He don't know what God know. Because if he knew what God knew, he could overtake. But he know what God, but he's smart. This is why we have to be working in sync with God's instructions. You know, a lot of times the enemy will try stuff to get us to move. Because remember what I'm saying, and when I talk about the lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life, that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's having a sexual encounter. But the desire that we have in the flesh, sometimes the enemy uses that. Maybe on the job, I want to be bigger, I want to be this, I want to be that. Or maybe at the mall, the shopping, you know, all this stuff he uses, we got to know when to move and when not to move. You know, a lot of times I told Apostle yesterday, I don't move and go no place. I like to make money. I can make fast money if I get calls. But if sometime I get a call and ask the Lord, should I go do this job? I said, Lord, it is good for me to move now and go do that job now at this time. You know, and the Lord said, don't go. And I need to make the money. Because I can help people if I make the money. But I said, no, I said, look, the Lord says, don't go. I'm not going. If they can't wait till tomorrow, they can't wait till next week. And I said, I'm not going to do it. You know, you have to always, I'm telling the truth, this is the best way to operate. If you never tried it before you say anything, say, Lord, in your silence. You ain't even got to talk, nobody got to hear your voice. In your silence, in your heart, say, Lord, speak to him in the spirit. Should I respond to this person? Should I go? Should I stay? You know, what do you want, Lord? What should I do? I'm going to talk to you. Because he said, I'm a spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. God going to speak to us in the truth, in the spirit. That's how he speaks. And what he speaks to us, to our hearts, is true. He can't speak a lie. That's not who he is. If you hear something that doesn't line up with God's word, it's not God speaking. It's the devil. He is the father of lies. And if he operate like that, sometime I want to go to the store. And my wife, she said, you're going to go to the store? I said, no, baby, because I'm not letting my spirit man to go to the store. I said, if you want to go, you can go, but I pray for you, but I'm not going. I tell her just like that. I said, I pray for you, but I'm not going to go, you know. So, and if I ever go outside that rim, something happens. Something happened. Then I said, this is my fault. It wasn't God. Because I wasn't supposed to go. Something happened. But you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I think in this coming season, the Lord's going to elevate you in this coming season. And you this is in the new year. But you have to prepare yourself. You have to spend time. And this time that you have off from work, spend time in the Word. In the Word. Soaking up. Don't read all these other people's books. I know you like a lot of reading. Just like my wife, she reads a different book every day. I mean, that woman's a fast reader. Every couple of days, she reads a new book. But don't read all these people's books. It's good to read some other people's books. But the best book to read, to study, is the Bible. Get to understand more about what God's saying about you. You know, I don't open the Bible a lot, the physical Bible, because, you know, it's so easy to turn the pages on the computer. It's so easy to turn the pages. So I lay up and open my computer, and I can read from five different Bibles, studying scriptures, just going back and forth from different Bibles. And it's fast, you know. Then I ain't got to worry about tearing the page or anything like that, or the page blowing back from when the furnace come on, the thing come through the vent, blowing the page. I just turn the page on the computer and I study. And this is where I'm getting a lot of revelation now, a lot of revelation from the Lord. And the Lord is speaking so clearly and preparing us to prepare the church. I thank God for you on today. I know, Pastor, she's going to like hearing your voice. She's going to like hearing your voice adding your two pennies to the service today and hearing Mother Grant. And thank Pastor Stewart. We did a great. We were able to take care of a good few families with that, those funds that you sent in your Pastor Joyce. So let Pastor Joyce know the people they're happy, especially the pastor in India. He was very, very happy. And the pastors in Kenya, and then another family in Kenya. We took care of four or five families. Plus, I added some money, and Apostle, she added some money. So we you know, they're able to buy stuff for Christmas and help the kids and stuff like that. And the church in Africa and in India, they're going to take care of the congregation. They buy a lot for the congregation. I really enjoy it. And he goes on, he shows me the pictures, all the bags, you know, that, with the food and different stuff for the people. Because India, the money goes much farther in India, you know, goes much farther. And they're able to do a lot. Pastor Buddha, she's able to do a lot over there. He wants me to come to India, but I got to pray about that. I mean, they got some bad snakes in Africa, too. They got one snake over there called the Mumbo. He's the baddest snake in the whole world. And I'm talking about a bad snake. And you hear people talking about the rattlesnake snake and all that snake, that Mumbo. That Mumbo eats snakes whole. He's a black snake, a bad, bad snake. He fights with the cobra. And he eats his cobra whole. I mean, he just swallowed a cobra. He's a bad snake, man. That's the one. He's a lot of different places, but mainly he's Africa. He's African bred, black. But India got a lot of cobras, I don't know about in the neighborhood where the family lives, so I have to pray about it. I don't like snakes. Snakes are the only things I can tell anybody that I'm seriously scared of them jokers. I can't stand a snake. Snake and me is no friends. I told you a couple of weeks ago I found a little baby in my backyard. He wasn't no more than 3 inches, Apostle. I beat that little snake so bad, Mother Grant. I beat him so bad that little snake was sorry he came in my yard. I beat him like he was a big snake. He was a little brown and black. He had a black line over his back. I think he was one of them viper that would got poisonous one, because he had that black streak right down his back. And I said, wow. My God, you coming. I see you come in the wrong yard. My wife come and she said, where you been? I said, man, there's a snake here. She was a snake. She couldn't see nothing, Father. But I beat that little snake so bad. I beat him to death. He was sorry he came in my backyard. But I told her, I said, where is the baby? There got to be a mother. So I put down some moth crystals all around the yard. Because once they come through the moth crystals, and the crystals get on their skin, it goes in their pores, boom, they die. Can't live.
What you call
mice it? Mice too. Yeah. Moth crystals. You know, moth balls, if you get moth balls, but you can get moth balls. Crystals. Yeah, but you can get morph crystals. Come in crystal form too. They come in like you got those containers that hold those chips. They got them containers look like a little can, a tall can, slender can, that they have some chips inside. I can't remember the name of them chips, but they come in a can. So they have morph crystals that come in those cans. Or you can buy the morph balls, but don't use your hand. Sure you have on gloves and crush them up. You can put them all around the house. And you can put them behind the fridge. If a mice in your house, because mice don't run through the middle of the house, they go around the perimeter of the house, inside the house. Oh. They go around the perimeter. And if you put them around the baseboard and stuff like that, the morph crystals are behind the fridge, behind the stove. In a few weeks, you'll smell some if there's any mice in your house. Because they're gonna go around the fridge, around the stove, and they get on their feet. Once they get on their feet, that's it. They don't have to eat it. Once they get on their feet, they're dead.
Yeah.
And if they get on snakes, any animal to get on their feet, they kill them. It's poison, deadly poison. Yep, so I put that stuff. Well, I had some mice when I was in Virginia, and we were in a pretty new house, but that area had a lot of dogs. And mice like that dog mess. They love that dog mess better than cheese. Mice eat the dog mess, you know that? And so wherever a lot of dogs is, you're going to find mice. So they will come in the house. And I put that the back door, side door, around the front, by the front door. And sometimes they die right there at the front door, right at the back door, trying to get in the door. And once they step in them crystals, those crystals get instantly. And mice would die. They die at the back door. Snakes die the same way. You put that stuff around the perimeter of your house, and they try to come around your back door, around the house, crawling close to the house, and they get on them, there's a dead snake. They ain't going to let
them. That's it for them. Okay.
They're going to take them out.
Thank God. I say, Lord, I ain't got none around here. I got two cats. One cat, I had a cat. He come here, and he had some kittens. Had two kittens. A yellow one and like a gray one, and that cat leave them kittens here. And you know, I feed them every twice a day. I feed them.
Yeah,
the cat's gone
kid,
and eat the kittens here, and I don't grow them now. They big. And they stay right out there in the yard. And I say, that's good.
The cat
y'all stay
that
right out there.
That cat know you're going to take care of his kids.
Yes, isn't that something? I feed
that
every day. Then I open the back door. Yeah, you see them coming to the door to let me know they're ready to eat. And they ain't want to eat no dry food. My daughter just bring the food from the place. They ain't want no dry food. They just leave the dry food there, and I leave it right there. I say, if y'all hungry, y'all going to eat this. They won't eat it. I got to mix it. I give the dry food to my pastor because he say he got a cat. But Linda bring the cases of food there. I put it down every morning. I put two cans out for them. Then you see, later on, you see them back around in the front of my door looking again. I say, y'all sweet mouth and greedy, and they don't get big. You should see how big and fat they is because they eat good. The mother never come back around. She leave them right there. You never see them. Them cats, I say, oh, my God, they done so big.
Yeah, this time around, and they're big and healthy. They was in Africa. If they were in Africa, them cats would be on this cats. Their cats would be on a stick. They would have a stick to them. They would put a stick to that cat. And you know they eat them cats, man. Yes, mother guy. They put a stick to them, and they spin that cat over the fire.
Oh,
yeah. When I find out that, I said, well, you know, you ain't going to feed me no cat because they ain't eating no cat. They eat the snake, too.
Mm-hmm.
Snake too. I said, no, you ain't feeding me no cat, no snake. I don't eat this food. When I go to Africa, I don't eat this stuff. I don't eat this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't eat this stuff because they like them snakes and cat and dog and all that stuff. They eat this stuff, man. I'm good with that stuff. We thank God for you all, people on the line. Let's see, Brother Deacon on there. Brother, what's the name? He ain't coming on because he got a new job. Send me text every day to Minister Jones. He got a new job. He stopped driving the tractor. He stopped driving the tractor trailer car. I guess the tractor trailer wasn't agreeing with his back. So he's driving a school bus now. Well, it's good. You get good benefits with the school bus. You know, so. It says he gets the word. He gets the word every day. Come on. He gets the word every day, so. But we thank God for you all. And thank God for Apostle Pastor Joyce.
I wish the pastor, the pastor. Oh, yeah, everything be okay with him.
Yeah, he's a blessed man. Bishop James Washington is a blessed man. I'm telling you. And I talked to a pastor, and man, I said he's a blessed man. Cause you know he's not a young man. You know,
amen. Yeah,
his body acting up like that. He getting attacks and stuff like that. Man, and she was scared too. You could hear it in her voice. She was scared. You know, because they've been together for quite some time, but she was scared that she's gonna leave her loose to help me, her mate. And she's just praying now. We ran into prayer. Pastor Stewart, myself, Deacon Fraser, everybody was praying. And he came out. He came back into the world with us, but he was leaving us. She was doing CPR and all that kind of stuff she was doing on him. And he came out. He said he was fighting to breathe. And
this
God kept him in the land of the living.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I pray that all goes well with his eyes and stuff, because he called me last night. We were talking for a long time on the phone. She says that he got an infection in his eye. And he started, you know, I know exactly what he was doing. Because once your eyes start itching you, you start rubbing. And you're going to make it worse. You know, instead of getting some Visine or something to drop in your eye, I got a lot of different stuff inside here. You know, when my eye itch or something like that, I drop some drops in there to take that thing away. And what happened is he scratched it, who knows if he scratched the cornea. But his old one eye is completely red. Completely red. So hopefully he'll get some antibiotics for that today. And he'll be all right. But I pray that he get a good examination from the doctor pertaining to his vision and his heart. It all come back well. You know,
yeah.
He's a good man. Bishop is a good man. So if nobody's got a word they want to come on and encourage, we're going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. Thank you for Mother Grant. Thank you for Evangelist Sheila, thank you for Deacon Fraser, thank you for Prophet Cheryl, thank you for Apostle Stewart, and we thank you, O God, for giving Bishop James Washington and Bishop and Apostle Linda Washington good reports today. Thank you for giving her daughter and her son-in-law and her grandson good reports today, Lord, because the report of the Lord said it's well with their soul. O my Father, my God, and my soon-coming King, as we leave this line today, but never your presence. So, God, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go. Father, we are praying now that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you would make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Father, we are praying now, O God, Lord God, as we leave this line, but not your presence, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and that the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today into somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or sodomizing a child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All the attributes of Jesus Christ ought to be seen in our life. We should live our lifestyle that when people see us, they will say, you know what? They know Jesus. The Bible said that when Peter and John has talked to the man at the gate called Beautiful and the man got healed, that the people perceived that they were ignorant men. They know that they were unlearned men and ignorant, but they perceived that they've been with Jesus, see, because the power and the authority that was moving through them, they say they went with Jesus. Hallelujah. So you all have a blessed day, and come on tomorrow and fellowship with us, okay, and have a good time. And love the Lord to use you all. Just love the Lord to use you. Listen to him. Ask him questions. God can talk. God can hear. Don't tell God everything. God can hear. He knows. He sees. And he hears. You know, let God talk. Ask him questions. God, what you want done? What should I do? How is this going to work out? God will give you the answers. Believe me, I know, because I've experienced it too many times. I ask him questions when things are going on. So, Lord, how is this going to work? I know my granddaughter was coming home from school, and I was asking God, is she going to make it home? She was getting a ride home. How is she going to get it home safe? And the weather was bad, you know. And I tell me, don't worry. She said, don't worry. She's going to make it home. I'm going to bring her home safe. Don't worry. Because, you know, her mother is the one, my daughter, that crossed over. So she's like everything to us. Everything to us. It's like having her and a mother in one body, you know. And thank God that she's an A-plus student. And we just pray that all goes well with her as she gets older. God bless you all, and I love you all. And I hope to see you all on the line tomorrow. Mother Grant, take care. I love you guys.
God bless you,
brother Deacon. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Take care now.
Amen. Amen.